from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and then we'll take you up to 4 o'clock. No more NBA Finals. The Celtics are the world champions of basketball. They beat the Dallas Mavericks 106-88 in Game 5. Jaylen Brown is the Finals MVP. The NBA season is over. The NBA offseason has begun. Was the 23-24 NBA season a good one?
I think so. I think it, like the parity, especially in the West, was incredible. And like, are the Kings happy with where they ended up? No. Of course
sure.
not.
No, I just meant as a...
But as a whole, yes. Like I think once you got into the playoffs, the struggle was so real. Like the matchup issues was like such a distinct season, right? So, you know, right. Like we talk about this all the time. I'm a huge Survivor guy, right? I love the show Survivor. I've watched every episode since the beginning. And I think each of them are so unique in how they kind of... how alliances are formulated and all these things happen. And that's what this season felt like. It felt like such a unique season where even at the end, I think we all had a tough time just accepting that Boston was so much better than everybody until it got so late and people want to make excuses for their path and all that stuff. The fact is it didn't matter what their path was. They were way better than everybody.
That's it, dude. Yes.
They lost 3 games in the playoffs. 3 total.
That's crazy.
They went 16-3. That's it. And yeah. So what did they win? Did they win 80 games? They go, yeah.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Total?
80 and 23?
Yeah, something like that. 64, so that's 18-21. So 80 and 21,
crazy.
I think.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing when you look at what they accomplished and just how good they were throughout like the entirety of the season. But like, look, I think we just kind of like put them way up and said, oh, well, the East is just bad and they're just way better than everybody in the East. What would they look like in the Western Conference?
Yeah.
And the fact is that the Western Conference is over here just like slaying each other like the whole time. The West was brutal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think this was, it was a really intriguing season, especially when, you know, Embiid went down, when Giannis went down, when the Denver Nuggets fell, it like opened this door for something new.
Yep.
And it's not even like the Nuggets were holding that place forever, but it felt like they might.
Yeah.
And then they're gone. And so, yeah, I think the intrigue of this season was really good.
I have 4 reasons that this was a good year, and I think kind of might be looked at as a turning point year in NBA history.
Okay.
One, we had the debut of the in-season tournament. I was very skeptical of the in-season tourney, and that thing kicked ass.
Yep.
I enjoyed the hell out of the in-season tournament. Congratulations to the Los Angeles Lakers for winning that first ever in-season tournament. But I think that's going to be a thing moving forward. I don't think it's not like, man, it was the Celtics and the Lakers year because the Celtics won the NBA championship and the Lakers were the in-season tournament. It's not going to be that.
No.
But I do think it's going to be a thing that you're going to see. I think you already saw players and fans getting up for it this year. You had the different courts. You had the different uniforms. The last couple of games were in Vegas. It was a cool event, and that debuted this year. I think we saw another big W for team building in a more traditional way, where you draft, you develop, and then you supplement your drafted and developed players with a free agent or two to help get you over the hump. I think we saw Denver do that last year. I think we saw Boston do that this year. I think you see that with Oklahoma City. I think you see that with Minnesota. I think that it was a big time win this season for draft and develop. And I think you largely see that with the Pacers, who were in the conference finals. The Knicks have been kind of a strange team build, but I wouldn't call them like a superstar studded super team or anything like that. So death of the super team, I think, helped kind of define this season. You can say that the Celtics are that, but they drafted Jason Tatum. They drafted Jaylen Brown. They added Derek White a long time ago. Derek White's been around. Al Horford is way past his prime. Kristaps Porzingis had never been able to stay healthy and had never been able to have a winning impact.
Mm-hmm.
They go and add Drew Holiday via trade. Like that helped get them over the hump. The other one, passing of the torch. I think this was a season where we really saw, okay, hey, the new guard is here.
Mm-hmm.
The new, if you want to include Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in that, I know they've been around for several years now, but they're both well under 30. So I think you include them, Anthony Edwards, Luka Doncic, I think turned a corner as a player a little bit this year.
Yep.
Where you might see an even bigger ascension from him. I know I'm missing a bunch, but you get it. The new guard is kind of here.
No, I totally agree. Yeah. Wembanyama, like, yeah,
thank you. That's all another of it, one. Tyrese Maxey is in there.
Yeah, SGA like becoming like a legitimate one. MVP candidate. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting because you talk about that, and it's such a like prevalent thing where you can see the young stars are taking over,
mm-hmm.
and it's almost like this Olympics might be like a really really interesting farewell,
like a send off, yeah,
to some of the greats of the game that held an entire era like captivated.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like really interesting.
Yeah, one last like, hey, let's all get together, let's all play in the Olympics. Farewell, the league is no longer ours.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And then the last one, this is the first season of the new load management rules. And I think you saw the benefits of it, of players playing in games. I don't think it's a coincidence that Anthony Davis played a career high, right? Career high in games?
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard played in a bunch of games. But then I think you saw the additional wear and tear kind of show up in the playoffs, where I think you saw maybe some more injuries than you might have seen in years past. Now, maybe it's just a coincidence. Maybe it's because teams have to learn how to properly manage without being able to load manage.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's another thing that we're going to look at down the road as a kind of turning point in NBA history. Not in toward any like good or bad direction, but just like, hey, here's an inflection point in kind of how the league is going.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle, all of those, like, it's like I think the way the league sort of morphed this season is intriguing,
mm-hmm,
and
for sure.
And also like the handoff and watching Steph and LeBron labor to get in, you know, into the play-in tournament,
mm-hmm,
was like jarring, you know, and to see sort of like this transformation. I think the 65 game rule, I think it's good that Adam Silver's like, oh yeah, I liked it. Next question.
Yeah.
Like I think maybe there are some small adjustments like the DiVincenzo weird that
he didn't play X amount of minutes one night. Yeah.
He plays like 80 games, but he's not eligible for certain things. Yeah. I think that was a little weird, but overall, I think this was a really cool season of growth for the league, especially like the end season tournament. I hated the idea. Like realistically, we may have talked about it and we may have like, oh, let's give it a shot. But really in the back of my head, I'm like, how in this, they can't even tell us how it's going to work.
Yeah.
But then we watch it play out and you're like, okay.
Tell you what.
I get it.
The Kings Thunder play in-season tournament game
Yeah.
was one of my favorite games all year. That was great.
Yeah.
Enjoyed the hell out of that.
No, I think it had all kinds of like intrigue. And you're right. The color schemes, the changing of the courts.
Just a little different. Just a little sprinkle of something different.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I needed. It's nice. And it makes November basketball matter.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
No, I think so too. I think that it's one. I want to see how it plays out over a couple of years.
Sure.
To see if it kind of loses its luster and people are like, okay, that was fun, but it doesn't really have a value. I'd also like to see them bump the value of it.
Sure.
Like give the players something unique for it, you know, whether it's a bump in the standings or whatever it might be.
Yeah. So I think overall a good year. Saw some people complaining about the playoffs. And if you didn't enjoy the playoffs, fine. But I think Anthony Edwards' ascension was super fun to watch. Watching Oklahoma City win a series and battle with Dallas was fun. Watching the Luka Kyrie ascension to the finals was a lot of fun in the West. The Pacers were a kick-ass watch, and that series against the Knicks was terrific. Joel Embiid dragging himself around the court to try and get the Sixers past the Knicks was pretty remarkable. I thoroughly enjoyed the postseason.
Yeah, the Jalen Brunson. The Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson, yep.
Yeah, even that whole entire team with Hart and with DiVincenzo, just every step, like everyone was tuning in.
They were must watch. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. And then we can't ignore like the Indiana Pacers making just like this bold, ridiculous, like, hey, how did they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals? I don't know. Good for Tyrese, but you know, sort of the growth and the like struggles and all of it, watching it play out, and Luka, the growth and the struggles. Like, I don't think it could have played out on a bigger stage where you're like, okay, he's made it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh no, he didn't. He didn't make it. Oh my gosh. Look, he took another step back.
Yeah.
Really weird.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I overall really good season. But very much looking forward to the next one. And of course, as we turn the page of the offseason, we'll keep you locked in on everything going on with the Sacramento Kings this offseason right here on ESPN 1320. All right, good idea or bad idea? We will have some NBA in there, and we'll have some NFL in there as well. Three things happening in the news. We will tell you whether it's a good or bad idea coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, it sure is. Got more NBA Finals talk coming up. Got more Kings offseason talk coming up. Let's do some good idea or bad idea.
Let's
we do this
it.
Every single day. It's three things going on in the news that we weren't going to spend a full segment on, but we wanted to touch on it anyways. And we say whether that thing is a good idea or bad idea. You can play along in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320, or give us a call if one of these things strikes your fancy at 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. Good idea or bad idea, James? Number one, the Orlando Magic apparently in free agency are choosing between whether to pursue Klay Thompson or Malik Monk. Good idea or bad idea?
That's a tough one, man.
Is it?
It's... I don't know. I understand the Klay Thompson love. I understand that they have very specifically an offense that is struggling because they don't have floor spacers.
Mm-hmm.
But Monk is such a dynamic athlete and such a, like, he's such a game changer. And I still don't know that Malik is built to be a starter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. But I don't know. I'm going to say, like, if I'm them, it's more difficult than you would think.
Yeah, I think it's, to me, it's a bad idea to go, hey, we need to choose between one of these two guys.
Especially since they're not your players and you don't know if you're going to get either one of them. But
yeah. But just pursuing in free agency, if we're going to go after these guys and we have to make a choice between, to me, it's very clear. Just based on, and again, I did not watch 82 games of Magic basketball this year. Let's be very clear. But from what I saw in the postseason, like, man, this team could really use a shot creator, because every single time they got into a crunch time situation, it was like, hey, Paolo, dribble around on the perimeter and bail us out. And he did it several times. He is a very, very good player.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, they could have really used just a elite electric shot creator and shot maker like Malik Monk. And I understand the idea with Klay Thompson. Yeah, hey, you need floor spacing, you need shooting, you need that veteran presence. He's been there. This is a young team, and this guy has won titles. He brings that veteran savvy. And that's great, but if your amount of money is going to be the same for those two guys, to me it's very, very clear that Malik Monk helps your team more right now.
No, I totally agree with
that. And so to me, if Klay Thompson is your fallback option, where you're saying, hey, we're going to offer $25 million a year to one of these two players, you go to Monk first, and you make Monk the priority. And from there, figure out the Klay Thompson thing. But it cannot be, if you're the Orlando Magic, to me, and again, this is not a disrespect to Klay. He has accomplished incredible things. He is a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best shooters the sport has ever seen. He's still a great shooter. But he's just not the offensive player he was, man. Not the defender he was. This is prime Klay Thompson. To me, it would be a no-brainer. Yeah, go get Klay. But that's just not the version of him we're getting. So, for me, with the Orlando Magic, bad idea to make a choice. Make it about Malik Monk, and if that doesn't pan out, then go chase Klay.
Yeah.
That's it.
No, I mean, that. Like, I understand that.
Yeah. Number two. Jeff Van Gundy, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, is joining Ty Lue's staff with the Los Angeles Clippers as their lead assistant. Is this a good idea or a bad idea to bring Jeff Van Gundy onto your bench as the top assistant?
Like, look, the Van Gundys are incredible basketball minds. They come from the Pat Riley tree, but Jeff Van Gundy decided to hang it up as a coach at age 45 after the 2006-2007 season.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't coached since.
Yeah.
So we're talking about 17 years. That's how long that is now. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's 17 years. I still think it's probably a good idea if you can get him on your bench.
Sure.
If you were to give him a head coaching job, I would be slightly concerned that at age 62, he might not have, like, and not being in the game for so long that you might have problems with, number one, like, him communicating with the new age of NBA players.
Sure.
But he has been around the game, you know, and he has been calling games forever until last year. And you know, I think he was pretty open. He went through some personal tragedy, whether it was the death of his sister-in-law or his best friend, got cancer and passed away this year. He lost his job at ESPN. So maybe you're just going to get a different, like, Jeff Van Gundy. And I kind of wish he would have came back, like, you know, 15 years ago or even, like,
sure.
like 12 years ago.
Sure.
It's just been such a long time. It's intriguing to me.
I think the bigger problem for me with this is he was on TV and calling finals games and prominently on ESPN for so long that there are probably a lot of dudes on the Clippers who only know Jeff Van Gundy as a commentator.
Of course.
And that's what they know him as. And yeah, he's not been in the sport coaching, but he's been around.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in production meetings. He's talked to players. He's talked to coaches. I just don't know at this point, because when he was on the ESPN broadcast, he was the whiny referee guy. Like, that's what everybody I know who is a casual basketball fan, who loves watching games but is not, you know, tapped in every single day listening to podcasts and sports talk radio and reading. They're just like, yeah, I'm gonna tune in for the national games and then my favorite team local games. Every single person is like, oh, he's the referee guy.
Mm.
He's the guy that just rails against the officiating all the time, and that's just kind of what he is. That might be what he is to several players on the Clippers.
Yeah.
And that would be my problem is can he step in and now be that authoritative coaching figure? I have no idea. And maybe him being separated from the game for so long, from coaching and viewing it from that kind of 30,000 foot view of covering the league, seeing a bunch of teams, talking to a bunch of players, talking to a bunch of coaches, maybe he now has new thoughts and ideas and opinions that just differ enough from what Ty Lue is looking at, that he can offer something for LA.
Mm.
But I'm wary, and I am skeptical.
Yeah, I know. You know, Ramsey brings up in the chat that he won a ring last night. He has been like a consultant for the Celtics over the last year or two. And I would say, like, when he retired, again, at age 45 and went into the booth, he was 52-30 with a .634 win percentage for the Houston Rockets. They got bounced in a first round series,
mm-hmm.
but like that was he was still a good coach. He has a 430 and .318 win percentage. I mean, record as a head coach, 575 win percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was a very good coach in his time, but it just does seem like such a long time ago.
Yeah, so that's kind of how I feel. Maybe it'll be fine for me right now. On the surface, kind of looks like a bad idea.
Okay,
but. That's just kind of where I land on it.
The Clippers always have a stacked bench. Yeah. Like their bench is always packed with great coaches.
And then let's put it this way too. If the Clippers fall short this year, it's not going to be because of JVG.
No.
Yes, to be clear. Number three, Brandon Ayuk apparently telling Jaden Daniels, the Commanders quarterback, the 49ers don't want him. Having that video filmed and then putting it on TikTok, good idea or bad idea?
I'm going to say bad idea, but this just is the world we live in now. So I mm-hmm. think these things happen all the time. Mm-hmm. And I always think they're bad ideas, but that could just be because I'm older and sure. don't look at them as the same way that certain people do.
This is his car. This is the hand he has.
Yeah.
There's nothing else he can really do. So what he can do is go on social media. And that's why you see players delete things off Instagram or delete stuff out of their Twitter bio or whatever it is.
Yep.
They go via social media because the goal is, hey, this is the weapon I have. This is the way I can negotiate publicly, is see if I can create enough outcry from fans that it sways the organization one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it. Brandon Ayuk is of the generation of player who ostensibly grew up on social media and with social media. I'm several years older than him, and I basically grew up that way. So I get why players in this era use social media that way, because that's what they know.
Oh yeah.
So to me, this is fine. If that's what's at your disposal, if that's what's in your bag, go use it. If you don't want to sit there silently and be like, yeah, I'm just gonna let everybody talk about me all the time, like, this is your way of getting your voice out there, yeah, go for it.
Yeah,
do whatever you can to get your money, man.
This is a world we live in. I fully.
That's like, it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
We're in the social media era and have been for a long time. And the players going to social media to try and negotiate in the public or whatever you want to call this, that's going to continue for sure. Let's talk some NBA finals. We got the handoff coming up with D'Lo today. I believe it's a D'Lo day.
Yeah.
D'Lo today coming in from D'Lo and KC. He'll be in about 15 minutes, so stay tapped in for that. And we'll continue talking NBA Finals. We'll have Kings offseason as well on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Does that interest you or not?
Sure.
Okay.
I don't see the link, though, so...
It's, here, I will... Do you want me to send you the link so you can follow along?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to text it to you right now. This is good radio. I'm Kyle, that's James. We're talking about this report from the Action Network where Matt Moore... wrote a free agency off-season notes deal.
Mm-hmm.
And among his other notes is this report that the Kings are going back to the well with the same trade package they offered Toronto twice for OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam. The offer includes Harrison Barnes, Kevin Huerter, and draft pick compensation. The Kings are known to have had calls with Chicago involving Zach LaVine and Alex Caruso. He goes on to say that along the Malik Monk front, the Kings won't realistically be able to match offers from teams like Detroit, Charlotte, and Orlando, who are also known to have interest. That in part is what makes LaVine more attractive to them at a discounted price after his trade market value hit rock bottom at the deadline. He also mentions that the Kings are going to renew talks with Washington about Kyle Kuzma. All that makes sense? On that track?
Maybe. I'd have to see how it all plays out in the end. I've known Matt for a long time. He was a true hoop buddy.
Mm-hmm.
He's not usually one that peddles in like crazy talk.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to have to wait and see if, again, the Zach LaVine conversation looks a lot different with Alex Caruso involved.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least one of them plays some semblance of defense,
mm-hmm.
like all NBA defenders.
One of them is one of the best defenders, perimeter defenders in the NBA.
They actually might be the two most polar opposite players in the league.
Ooh.
To be teammates, like it's almost like you have to take them both because they make one, they formulate.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because Alex Caruso, not a great offensive player. Zach LaVine, not a great defensive player. But vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really interesting.
Can I real quick on this on this report? And like I said, I'm not disparaging what Matt is reporting here, but Stephen Brown said it in the chat, and I can't say this out loud, but he said, "Bro reported the same stuff we've been talking about for months," and that's just kind of it. This feels like, okay, yeah, just laying out in general kind of what we already knew. The Zach LaVine piece of this is the most interesting part.
Okay, so yeah,
is that residual from the Kings called about Zach LaVine months ago?
No, this is if we go back in time and remember how this was reported mm-hmm. before. No, this was Zach LaVine would love to play for Sacramento.
Right,
that's how this was reported that he would love to team with De'Aaron Fox in the backcourt, and then he got hurt and he missed the rest of the season.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. So the problem that you have is that LaVine just makes too much money
mm-hmm.
and he can't stay healthy. Yeah. It's something that I keep talking about time and time again. He's dynamic. He's a playmaker. He sets guys up. He can score with the best of them. Mm-hmm. Like very, very interesting. And it would be fun to see him with Sabonis and with Fox.
In a vacuum, and please take this the right way. In a vacuum, he is better than Malik Monk. Like he's just a better
better
player. Okay. I mean, I can't disagree with that.
But then you factor in money, you factor in health, you factor in just how he fits in the role.
You factor in role.
He's not taking a sixth man job.
No, he's your starting shooting guard without any question.
Right.
The problem that you have is if you make that move, like, you better have Alex Caruso, and not only but you have to have Alex Caruso, but you got to go out and get like three other dudes that can really, really play defense because he's a sieve.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about Luka in the playoffs, like, that's a gamble. And like, I know that there were conversations behind the scenes where there was one faction within the walls of Golden One Center that was like, just push the button and go get Zach LaVine. And there was another section saying, no, 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 no. That would ruin us. Like, because that's what you have to look at. So again, we're talking in the next 3 years. Can you afford a 40-something million Sabonis, a 40-something million dollar De'Aaron Fox, a 40-something million dollar Zach LaVine going all the way up to 50 with both him and Sabonis, and then the contract extension that Fox is going to sign?
Plus, and Keegan Murray.
Plus the fact that Keegan Murray is 2 years away, so you'd run at least one season where Zach LaVine is making $49 million, and on top of that, you would have Sabonis at like, let me see. Let me look this up really quick. So
I want to clarify something while you're looking that up. When you say Keegan Murray is 2 years away, you mean from a contract extension, not like Bruno Caboclo.
No, no, no. Yeah, from a contract extension. No, he's not 2 years away from 2 years away. Yeah. So I'm just trying to find the current. So.
Okay. Well, while you do that, we've got Don on the line here.
Okay.
Hey, Don, you're on the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. What's up?
How you doing, Mr. Madsen and Mr. Hamm? This is Javier from Vagabond. I tried to get my two trades in last week, but now I understand you call everybody Don now who answers the phone, or you're taking the phone from now. My call that I'm trying to more or less come about is it's a two-part trade that last week with only half of it kind of,
All right, I'm writing it down this time.
Differentiates the trade that doesn't make it all come full circle. So the Brandon Ingrams and the Jeremy Grants of the world, those aren't practical in regards to the contract that they're going to need. Brandon Ingram, as well as the money that Jeremy Grant makes currently at his age. Kuzma and Landry Shamet, again, just hear me out, please, for a 13th overall selection in the 2024 NBA draft, Davion Mitchell, Chris Duarte, and Jalen Slauson. Then, like we just said, the other previous discussion kind of took my firepower, but it's all relative. Again, the Kings call Chicago. They do Harrison Barnes, Sasha Vezenkov gets his wish, go get some playing time in Chicago. Kevin Huerter for Zach LaVine, Alex Caruso, and Torrey Craig. Now, this is how this all comes full circle. People are Landry Shamet with this lineup of De'Aaron Fox, Zach LaVine, Keegan Murray, Kyle Kuzma, Sabonis, with your bench being Keon Ellis, Shamet, Caruso, Craig, Lyles / Lynn. That right there alone is the security of not just a 50-plus win team. You shake it up in the way you need to. But let's say, heaven forbid, knock on wood, Zach LaVine does get hurt. You plug Keon right back because he's a combo guard. He can play that starting shooting guard position. Landry Shamet, it'd be Shamet and or Monk. If, heaven forbid, again, knocking when Malik Monk walks for agency because he makes the offer somebody can't refuse, Landry Shamet was a great scoring shooting guard off the bench in his previous stops with the Suns. Yeah, he's had some off-season with the Wizards, but those are two fantastic trades. I mean, I don't know why we're scoffing at it, making it seem like that's unrealistic. Look at Landry Shamet's early numbers, 40% plus from the three-point line a few times in his career, and was a 43% shooter from the field overall. He's a great bench player and a great reserve for somebody as an insurance policy for Malik Monk. Not somebody to replace him, but definitely take off that scoring load if and when we were, again, heaven forbid, not when we lose him, but it's something to replace him with if he walks. And you get LaVine with an insurance policy to start Keon Ellis if he got hurt again.
Got you. Thanks, Hoff. Appreciate you. All right. I had to let him cook. I had to let our guy cook one time.
Okay.
All right.
That was the longest call in the history of calls.
So the Kings are getting, I let that go on too long. You guys are right, I'm sorry. Kyle Kuzma and Landry Shamet to the Kings. And then they also get Zach LaVine, Alex Caruso, and Torrey Craig. How tall is Torrey Craig?
6'4", but he plays bigger. Maybe 6'7"? Oh, man. Why am I drawing a blank on Torrey Craig?
In my brain, he's like 6'4".
Yeah, he is.
Is he legitimate? Like,
he's 6'7", but he's also 33.
Okay, so
I do like okay, I do like Torrey Craig as an
option. No, I'm in on Torrey Craig, and we're certain he's not a free agent. I'm assuming Hov did his research.
I'm not sure if he's a free agent.
Okay, so
he has a player option at $2.8 million.
Okay, so you have Landry Shamet, who's like 6'2", and then you'd have Zach LaVine and Alex Caruso, and it's a lot of guys who aren't very tall.
Yeah.
And you'd lack a lot of size. And some of your size, Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter, are both gone in this scenario.
Okay, so...
as is Chris Duarte.
Shamet's 6'4", 27 years old. Shamet can shoot the rock, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Although he really hasn't been able to... like, his best years were back with the Clippers, where he's just straight shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, he's only broke 10 points a game once in his career. Like, if Landry Shamet was on the Kings, I wouldn't hate it, because especially if it were a swap out of Chris Duarte.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, well, first of all, he doesn't play defense like Duarte, and he also doesn't foul everybody like Duarte. But my concern is that Shamet makes $11 million and $12 million. And so, again, the proposed trade that he had there with Kuzma, and I think it was for Davion and Duarte.
And Jalen Slauson.
And Slauson, but that's not enough. And first of all, Jalen Slauson is a two-way player. You can't trade a two-way player. So, but that's okay. You still need way more in order to get Shamet, because now you're talking about almost $35 million in contracts,
right,
between Kuzma and Shamet. So you're going to have a lot more thrown into that deal. And then that impacts what you can offer Chicago. So I don't think the numbers actually work. Either way, I would be surprised if any of that happened. And I think you run the risk of being like a team with just names, right? So
that's kind of how that felt for me.
Yeah, and so when I looked at the Kristaps Porzingis trade with the Celtics, I was like, eh, okay, whatever. That like didn't move the needle. When they got Jrue Holiday, it's like, needle moved, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you combine the Kristaps Porzingis and the Jrue Holiday trades,
mm-hmm,
it's like, ooh, okay, now I get it.
Yeah.
But right, still, I'm a little out, because Porzingis has such a large history of being injured. Mm-hmm. It worked, but that's because they have Tatum, they have Brown, they have Derek White, they had Al Horford, they've been to the championships, the championship before, they've been to the finals before. They're a team that, you know, has been cooking.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like to me you're getting a bunch of guys who have names who are a lot more fluff than they are substance. Does that make sense?
Yeah, man. I would take Caruso and Craig for sure. Like, I think they could be legitimately impactful players. But Zach LaVine, keep it. Landry Shamet, keep it. Not that Landry Shamet's a bad player, but at $23 million over the next 2 years, I'm out.
Yeah, and I would take Caruso.
Did I say I wouldn't take Caruso?
I would take Kuzma. That's what I was
saying.
I would take Kuzma if the other players that you're getting make sense. But again, we're hearing that Caruso, that they turned down a top 10 pick for Caruso.
Yeah.
So they're not giving, maybe they give up Caruso, mm-hmm, so someone would take LaVine, but that's a lot of money to take on.
And the Bulls just in general are in kind of a weird spot, because Coby White was awesome this year.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden looks like a player that you can kind of build around. And the East isn't great.
Mm-hmm.
So you can talk yourself into, man, Coby White, and if you get a full season of Zach LaVine, and Sylvania, it's just got to keep him healthy. I think the Bulls are going to talk themselves into not making any moves.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's possible. I do know that there were a ton of teams that came after Caruso, and then Caruso's, he's got 1 year at $9.9 million, and he's going to get paid. And again, now you're running into this weird, like, how much money do you have?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't just go, like, well over the second apron for a team that may or may not be good. Who knows? And that's a tough gamble.
Yeah.
Because I think you kind of turn into the Bulls in that situation.
Yeah, man. And that's kind of it. And the Kings have been, this is why, let's just say that Javier's trade here all works. The Kings have been so conservative with their team building, and none of those moves make enough of a move the needle enough for me.
Yeah.
To make me think that the Kings, that's how they're going to take their big swing, because that would be it. That's their big swing. Is, hey, here's these huge, we're going to move heaven and earth to get these players in, and then we're going to look at the roster and go, I guess.
Okay.
Like, maybe. But if they're going to take, look, if they're going to make the kind of swing where they're trading 1-5 guys and their first round pick this year, it's going to wind up netting them a better haul, whether it's 2 or 3 players or whatever it is. And it's probably going to have to include additional draft picks. It's going to get them a better haul than something that shakes out to Zach LaVine and Kyle Kuzma.
Okay. I would tell you that, like, if Alex Caruso was ever available, I want him on my team just because of his nicknames on Basketball Reference. Mm-hmm. So let's go through these nicknames.
Oh, hell yeah.
Damian Barling is logging in right now. Hopefully,
Damian Barling here for the handoff.
Hopefully he can hear these things. His mic is not on yet, but
we're good.
There he is.
Damian Barling here for the handoff. D'Lo and KC coming up next.
Here we go. Let's get a reaction here. Alex Caruso's nicknames per Basketball Reference. First one, Bald Mamba.
Bang. That's my nickname, but that's fine. Go on.
Second one, Bald Eagle.
Okay.
Third one, Caruso, like the show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to skip the next one. The next one is Goat and then AC. Here's White Mamba 2.0 and The Accountant. I'm just saying.
Did he major in accounting or something? Because if you majored in accounting and then went to the NBA and your nickname was The Accountant, that'd be kind of fire.
I think it's possible just he's awfully pale. And they're like, he looks like an accountant.
Sure. Yeah. Thoughts?
I don't know. Thoughts?
What the hell did I walk into? What is going on right now?
Are you pro?
The finals are over. We don't know what to do anymore.
What happened is Javier completely bamboozled us.
I had to let Javier cook one time.
For like 2.5 minutes. And then his trade idea was expansive. Like, I needed a whiteboard to draw all the pieces going different places.
Whiteboard, another Alex Caruso nickname.
There it is.
I like that. That's funny. That's good. That's very good.
Yeah, we got the Kings getting Kyle Kuzma and Landry Shamet.
Okay.
For the 13th pick, Davion Mitchell, Chris Duarte, and Jalen Slauson, who can't be traded.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, where does Alex Caruso come into play?
In the next trade that next spins trade. Off of that.
Oh, no.
Because that doesn't make sense. Okay. But once you hear the second trade, you're going to be like,
okay.
Harrison Barnes, mm-hmm. Sasha Vezenkov, and Kevin Huerter, Zach LaVine, The Caruso, and Torrey Craig. I didn't even mean to hit the
And
thing.
I just that have was... a, I'm just curious, like when, I don't know, ever has a trade with like 9 players happened?
Never. But.
Why do people think this is how the NBA works? Like you've literally never seen it. Never once. In the history of your time watching professional basketball, have you seen some absurd trade like that? Never. So why do people think this is how the league works? I can tell you why. Because the trade machine has made very intelligent people stupid. Because what they do is they go to their stupid computer, they go to that stupid website, and they put together this little idea and go, boom! And then you have that stupid-ass line from the guy in Boston. Who says no? Literally everybody. Literally everybody says no to this because the dumbass proposal you put together makes no sense. No. You're ridiculous. I hate the trade machine and I hate the people that live on it.
I think the biggest trade ever that I can remember, it involved Chris Gatling and it was a 3-team trade with the Nets, the Bucks, and the Timberwolves. And I think it was 9 players. But outside of that, I don't think that there's ever been more than like a five.
The Rudy Gobert trade had a gang of players in it.
Maybe four, though.
That was wild, but that was really just coming down to Rudy Gobert. That was a ton of players.
Yeah.
Because there were, what,
they matched
three
salary with a bunch of, like, end-of-bench guys.
Yeah, and the rookie. So it was, like, three players. One of them was a rookie, and then, like, the four picks. Yeah, that was bizarre. I'm remembering Cleveland the year LeBron blew up the bench and traded Isaiah Thomas, but it wasn't like a single trade. It was a trade with 50 people in it to 50 different teams. And
okay, so it was,
they still went to the finals.
Beasley, Beverly, Bulmaro.
Oh, the great Leandro Bulmaro.
Walker Kessler, mm-hmm, and Jared Vanderbilt. So it was a 5-for-1.
That's the Rudy trade. Yeah,
that's the Gobert trade
with four firsts and a pick swap.
Oh yeah, the that's, Chris.
Yeah, that's matching salary on a ungodly contract that Rudy Gobert has.
Yeah, as part of a 3-team trade, Sam Cassell was traded with Chris Gatling by the Brooklyn Nets to the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks traded Terrell Brandon to the Timberwolves. The Bucks traded Elliot Perry to the Nets. Minnesota traded Paul Grant to the Bucks. Minnesota traded Chris Carr, Bill Curley, and Stephon Marbury to the Nets. And the Nets traded Brian Evans and a first-round pick, which became Wally Szczerbiak, to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
What year was this?
You lost me like
1999.
45 seconds ago.
Yeah.
Wow. Bunch of dudes just ripping lines, getting on the trade machine and making calls.
That's right. I think that like a 9-player deal
ripping
is the biggest
lines?
I remember.
What's that mean?
Doing cocaine.
That's what I thought it meant. That's what I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting a cocaine reference from Kyle this morning.
That's funny. But
there you have it.
Hey, day off tomorrow. Who knows what we'll get into.
Well,
tonight, you know?
Well. Chris in the backyard.
There it is.
Chris in the backyard. I also love the idea of one team trading three guys to another team for three guys. Like, okay, so that, so in this case, who was it? Chicago?
Yeah.
Okay, so Chicago. Their three, our three guys in Sacramento are going to help that team be better, and their three guys in Chicago are going to help this. Yeah, it's just a place of being in the wrong location, man.
No, but I think this is good. This is a good strategy. I hope Monty McNair is listening.
Yeah.
Call teams and try and trade the Kings' worst players for their better players.
That's a good strategy.
That's science.
We'll see how that. So this is what the offseason is like.
Kevin Herter for Steph Curry. Who says no?
No, we got sidetracked here. I don't know how this happened.
Because
in the
Javier called.
Yeah,
I had to let him cook.
Yeah, it started with a Matt Moore report. Mm. That's what it started with. The Kings are back in on a potential Zach LaVine,
Alex Caruso trade.
With the usual suspects, which are now, it's not Kaiser Sose, it is Harrison Barnes and Kevin Herter and maybe Chris Duarte.
Yeah.
The Kings are just peddling these as a package everywhere. Like, look what we have.
Mm-hmm.
It's intriguing.
Please look at my wares.
Interesting. Interesting. Interesting.
Open six.
Yeah, the trench coat. Yeah, the players inside it. Good NBA season.
Yeah, it was a great NBA season.
I agree. That's it. That's where we landed.
Yeah,
the right team won.
Great NBA season. Yeah, like
you love to see an upset. You love to see an upset. No, it's just,
like, I wanted to see Boston win.
Yeah.
Like, if Sacramento's not going to win, I want to see Boston win, and they did. Like, that's a deserving team that's been very good. Watching. The way they've rebuilt this thing since, I think, 13 or whenever that trade with Brooklyn was done. And, to see the multiple incarnations now of Brad Stevens, who I honest to God, I don't think he was on the podium last night. I think you heard
his
name referenced.
No, I saw him.
I did not see him on that podium last night.
When they panned over, they called his name, they panned over, but you could see Joe Mazzulla in front, and he was kind of right behind him.
Because I thought it would be the most Brad Stevens thing for him to be like, no, this is your guys' celebration. I'm going to stay out of this.
He's just grinding.
Probably.
Film.
Yeah. No.
Already made trades.
He's thinking. Brad Stevens is the kind of guy who's probably thinking about what we have to do this again next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, he's thinking about that right now.
Yep. And I'm thinking about what you guys got coming up on your show. What is it?
Lots of this, man. I have a great admiration for Brad Stevens. We're going to talk about the Celtics, the season that they had. Jesse's going to have himself a moment here
on the
show for sure. Trista Crick, Jason Jones, so a lot of stuff ahead.
Very good. D'Lo and KC coming up next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We'll be back Thursday.
Best day of the week.
Best day of the week. We'll be back Thursday at 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1320. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Bloop.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.